And now we're going to have our Bible reading, which Stephen's going to come and read for us, Revelation chapter 1.
The reading is from the book of Revelation to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Found on page 309 in the church Bibles. Revelation chapter 1. This book is the record of the events that Jesus Christ revealed. God gave him this revelation in order to show his servants what must happen very soon. Christ made these things known to his servant John by sending his angel to him, and John has told all that he has seen. This is his report concerning the message from God and the truth revealed by Jesus Christ. Happy is the one who reads this book, and happy are those who listen to the words of this prophetic message and obey what is written in this book. For the time is near when all these things will happen. From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace be yours from God, who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits in front of his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first to be raised from death, and who is also the ruler of the kings of the world. He loves us, and by his sacrificial death, he has freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To Jesus Christ be the glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, including those who pierced him. All peoples on earth will mourn over him. So shall it be. I am the first and the last, says the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. I am John, your brother, and as a follower of Jesus, I am your partner in patiently enduring the suffering that comes to those who belong to his kingdom. I was put on the island of Patmos because I had proclaimed God's word and the truth that Jesus revealed. On the Lord's day, the Spirit took control of me, and I heard a loud voice that sounded like a trumpet speaking to me. It said, "Write down what you see and send the book to the churches in these seven cities: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see who was talking to me, and I saw seven gold lampstands, and among them there was what looked like a human being, wearing a robe that reached to his feet, and a gold belt round his chest. His hair was white as wool or as snow, and his eyes blazed like fire. His feet shone like brass that has been refined and polished, and his voice sounded like a roaring waterfall. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth. His face was as bright as the midday sun. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet like a dead man. He placed his right hand on me and said, Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive for ever and ever. I have authority over death and the world of the dead. Write then the things you see, both the things that are now and the things that will happen afterwards. This is the secret meaning of the seven stars that you see in my right hand, and of the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
All of life can be difficult sometimes, can't it? Unexpected things happen to us, to our friends, to our families, in the world around us, and it often leaves us with lots of questions. What is it all about? What's really going on? Who can make sense of it, if anybody at all? Can we be sure about anything? Well, as Christians, we're taught to look at the Bible, God's word to us, to teach us more about God and about the meaning and purpose of life, and to help us make sense of the events that happen to us in the world, and to see if there's anything we can actually be really sure about in our changing world. I suspect that for most of us today in church, if we asked around, the last book of the Bible that we would choose to help us really understand things and find answers to questions probably is literally that, the last book of the Bible, Revelation. It's not, as we've said already, the easiest of books to understand, and it quite often gives rise to perhaps more questions than it gives answers. But in our worship group, we're going to have a look for the next few months at the first three chapters. And fortunately for us, the first three chapters that contain the letters to the churches are surely the most straightforward and the easiest to understand out of the whole book. Even though we're only going to look at those first three chapters at the moment, I think it's helpful for us to have an idea of what the rest of the book is about, and to help us understand the significance of those early chapters. So this is where we're going to start this morning, with chapter 1 and with the whole book of Revelation. Revelation simply means unveiling. Another word for it, which comes to us from the Greek, of course, is the word apocrypha. Things that were previously unknown are going to be made known. Something that's hidden is going to be shown to us. And Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him concerning the events that will soon happen. And we know that him is John. It's almost as though a curtain is being drawn back, and God says to us, look at this. Look at what's behind the curtain. Now, most of what's behind the curtain that's revealed to us deals with spiritual realities that exist behind the scenes of life as we experience it every day, with what one Korean minister called the fourth dimension. We find out that there's more to life and more things in heaven and earth than we normally see in our everyday three-dimensional world. In Revelation, we're actually given a glimpse into the throne room of heaven. And the throne, we're told, is not empty. In chapter 4, we read, I saw a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. The exciting thing is that the world has not just been set in motion and left for us to get on with things. There is somebody in the control room of the universe. How reassuring for John, to whom that was originally being revealed, and how reassuring and good for us to know that too, when things around us don't seem to be making a lot of sense. Revelation also deals with the time that we might call the time of the church. That is, the time between Christ's first coming as a baby in Bethlehem and his second coming in power and glory. That was the time that John was living in, of course, and it's the time in which we're still living today. And the book encourages us to see our lives in the bigger context of God's rule and reign in the world and right across the ages. It was written at a time when Christians were being persecuted for their faith, as many still are today, sadly. So the writer's concerned to give his readers hope and encouragement and urge them to remain faithful during times of suffering and persecution. Although there are differences of opinion about the details, as we've already said, the interpretation of the book isn't easy. There does seem to be a clear central theme, and this is the theme, that through Christ the Lord, God will finally and totally defeat all his enemies and will reward his faithful people with the blessings of a new heaven and a new earth when that victory is complete. That's a huge theme. Revelation was a book that was read in the early church congregations often, and I believe they read it all from the beginning to the end. We may think the whole of chapter 1 is a fairly long reading, but that's nothing compared with what they would have read. And they would have read it because it was Jesus still speaking to his churches, and his message must have been encouraging and reassuring to people facing those problems and those persecution, just as it continues to be encouraging and reassuring for us today. So Revelation begins with a vision of the risen Christ and letters written to specific church congregations. As a congregation here, ourselves at Christ Church, I'm sure we're going to find that the letters to the churches are very much relevant still today, as relevant as they were to the churches which first received them. So this morning we've begun by listening to the first chapter of Revelation, which of course introduces the letters to the churches and introduces us to the rest of the book. Now, what we often do, if we think we're just on the introduction, is to skim over the opening verses. We don't think that's very important. It's introducing us to something else. But if we do that, we might just miss the magnitude of this unveiling from Jesus to his disciple John. The revelation which we're catching a glimpse of is from Jesus Christ himself to his followers and to his servants. And we, of course, still come into the category of his followers and his servants. Even the traditional greeting of grace and peace, which we find at the beginning of a lot of letters, is described as being from Jesus himself to us personally and to a congregation. That surely is pretty amazing when we consider that Jesus is the one who rules over all the kings and queens of the world, as Good News puts it. Now, I'm pretty sure, again this morning, if we asked around, There are very few of us, if anybody, who's ever received a personal message from the Queen. Anybody? Me neither. And yet, here's a message for us from the Queen's ruler himself. Revelation really is a pretty astonishing letter. The fact that Christ is eternal is emphasized twice in the opening section and then again later in the chapter. And that theme comes back to at the end of the book of Revelation. It's Jesus, the one who has already been, the one who is, and the one who's also going to come again. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, who's speaking to us, his people, through his servant John. In a world where we know that there's lots of uncertainty, that's a very sure and certain description of Jesus. The first audience for the letter were in the early churches, living through terrible turmoil and persecution. And they were being reassured by Jesus that they were in very safe hands. He has got the whole world in his hands. Today, life can be uncertain for us too. It can be uncertain personally, in our communities, in the wider world, and in our churches. Do we know that steady, steadfast character of Jesus today? Do we feel sure that whatever is happening to us and whatever is happening around us, we are also in those very safe hands? And then comes that awesome vision of Christ given to John. There was the loud voice, the lamps on their stands, and the figure in the middle that John could hardly find words to describe. His face was as bright as the sun in all its brilliance. It was a scary vision, but also still reassuring. John, we know, was in exile on a Greek island, and there he was worshipping God. Life was tough and demanding, and he worshipped God. His future was uncertain, and he still worshipped God. Only then came the vision. Yes, the vision was terrifying, so terrifying that John was in a state of collapse, but Jesus gave him words of reassurance that focused again on Jesus' eternal existence and his victory over death. John was totally overwhelmed by this vision of Jesus. The manifested glory of God was like thousands of suns and moons all in one. I wonder how we see Christ today. Do we see him as a baby in a manger? Do we see him only as a man who lived on earth over 2,000 years ago? Or do we see him as he really is today, seated in power and majesty at the Father's side? Do we concentrate only on the meekness, out of the meekness and majesty we've been singing about this morning? Or do we really think of his power and majesty? John had never seen Jesus like this. The Apostle John knew him as a man, but not like this. And he was so overcome with the vision of Christ that he fell at his feet as though dead. When we really catch a vision of Jesus, we too will surely be totally overwhelmed when we really understand how awesome his power and majesty is. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with awe as you think about Jesus that you have actually physically trembled? All too often our visions of Jesus are far too small to have that effect, aren't they? John saw this awesome Jesus walking among seven lampstands, holding seven stars. We're told that this signifies Jesus walking among the churches. He holds the churches in his hands. He's indeed the head of the church, which is his body, as we read in Colossians chapter 1. When we think about our congregation here of Christ's people, gathered here today, do we really have a consciousness that we are together in the hands of Jesus? Surely we do need to grow together in this confidence, because it affects our relationships with each other. It certainly affects our relationships with Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and our everyday church life, and our vision, and our direction for the future. And surely we too need that continual reassurance that whatever happens to us, we're in really safe hands.